If you can please kneel, we are going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you once again for your presence. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the snow that came today and the gentle temperatures, no wind. We thank you for that. We also thank you, Father, for the changing of the showbread that you allow for each and every Sabbath. Please bless us as we gather here, and bless us whenever we go into your word, because we certainly want to be ready for that latter rain. And we know there are many aspects of the truth that we don't understand yet, and we have to. Just like in Nehemiah's day when the four decrees went forth. We have all four angels now. And so, Father, please bless us and forgive us. Cleanse us all from all the unrighteousness and bless us with that latter rain. And please bless everyone here in attendance, not only with an understanding and a blessing of the truth, but with opportunities to share it with others, even if they don't see the seed planted. Thank you for letting it get planted anyway. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King, and our Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen. And amen. All right, so now, I don't know how well this is going to go today, because it's already at two parts, this sermon. I wanted it all to be in one, because I wanted to make it quick and to the point, but there's just so much happening now that it's kind of difficult to do it as such. And I may even make videos of this. I don't know if I'm going to have time to do videos this big. But for those of you that study current events as they pertain to end time prophecy, and I would assume most of us here do that, some of what I'm about to share may seem like a repeat to you, but on the other hand, the finalization regarding the certain movements of Rome have been verified and rather clear as to what time it is now. And it still bears repeating anyway. But back on October 7th, did anybody, because we were talking about this last night, did anybody figure out, because I lost my calendar page and I didn't even think to look, well, maybe I'll just do it here on my computer. Go back 1 month. October 7th was a Wednesday, so okay. I was kind of hoping it was a Sabbath day, but I was in prayer. It was the morning prayer. And the Lord impressed upon my heart in a big way that he wanted me to share this again, even though I've done this many times in the past, but not in this way. So with that said, the first prophecy that marks the end of civilization as we know it is the final persecution of the Christians that is to occur directly before the plagues begin. And if you think it's bad now, those of you that aren't going forth to do the work, you're going to see it get worse when you do. So you got to be prepared for that. You still have to do the work. I mean, that's part of the duty of being a Christian. But in an article posted back in 2009, it was reported that Hamas digs up the bodies of Christians from Christian burial sites in the Gaza Strip, claiming they pollute the earth. I didn't mention this in the notes below. For those of you that are new, all the sermon notes are going to be below, along with this quote that I just shared and the verses and whatnot. But and then in box number 7 has all the links to some in-depth information I have in regards to some things. But this just reminded me of something that I happened to be going over the other day. I was talking with some preacher on that looks to be on the exact same page we are, except he's kind of still connected to the Ninth Hour Church. We were going back and forth with some pretty interesting stuff, and I just found out, I didn't know this, but a lot of people in the church, that church, used this site because of the data on it. And we were on the Words of the Beast page. And we didn't touch on this, but I happened to glance at it as I was looking for stuff, and I remember, yeah, the popes used to dig up Christians and then reburn their bodies and then toss their ashes anywhere they wanted to because they said it would pollute the earth, just like we see the Muslims doing. The article goes on to say that it was further charged that every 3 minutes a Christian is tortured and killed in the Muslim world. And that this year, more than 165,000 Christians will have been killed because of their faith, most of them in Muslim countries. And again, the link to that article is below in the sermon notes. That was back in 2009. And the number of martyred Christians has grown considerably since then. And now the lower estimates of Christian martyrdom is just over 200,000 on the average. But we have to also keep in mind that the media is not releasing all the numbers because they know that to do so would generate such an outrage that many Christians who, for some strange reason, don't seem to have a problem with 200,000 Christians dead a year, but they figure if they really put out the real numbers, they would finally speak out if they really knew it was over 400,000 a year that were being killed. And the reason I calculate that to be at 400,000 is because doing the math with the historic facts that are laid out in Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I have a link on the website, one can put the annual death toll of Christians during Rome's Inquisition to be around 396,825 Christians each year. That the Vatican was in power to do so. And I have to take into consideration, yeah, the first 2 or 3 years when Napoleon started flexing his muscles, the killings went down dramatically. And that's why you also see the dark day and the blood red moons and stuff like that. But I go for the benefit of the doubt and just assume that, okay, you know, you'll do only 400,000 that year. Because if you take those years away, they actually did more than 400,000 a year. And they didn't even have the technology we do today. Prophecy says in Daniel 7:25, and he, speaking of the beast in Rome, man of sin, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call him, he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And in Revelation 13:7 says, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Yes, this is talking about the Vatican's first rampage through the Church of Jesus Christ during the 1,260 years. But when speaking of the last days, when the mark of the beast is enforced, and that only happens near the end of time, Revelation 20 verse 4 says this, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. As has been documented by an ex-Jesuit priest, and as well as on a camera admission by an ex-Muslim, and the bold declaration that Allah is God made first by the Vatican a few years back, which then caused all other churches, including the Ninth Hour Church, to echo Allah is God. We know the Christians that are being beheaded by Islam now are in fact being killed in the same manner as this prophecy predicts later when the mark is enforced. So when they do eventually start to enforce the mark, beheadings won't be as much as a barbaric turn of events since it's been going on for so long already. You know, it's gotten so bad now in the Middle East that it is now predicted that Christians will be extinct there within 10 years. See the article that I got linked out in box number 7 in the sermon notes. And as we see in the USA, Christian morals are literally being outlawed and more often than not openly mocked via unjust laws. I mean, the homosexual marriage laws is one in particular that is very telling. The rainbow colors on the White House was a rather bold and graphic mockery of the God of creation. And it was purposely done as a show of strength against all Christians in this nation that know what that rainbow means. And I'm not just talking about the promise about not flooding the earth. I'll get into that later. Well, actually, pretty soon. This long prophesied persecution will soon be much worse due to the fact the Vatican-controlled U.S. government, which, by the way, has over 30,000 guillotines in storage as we speak, will soon pull those guillotines out of mothballs to assure their show of strength is well advertised. And a lot of people think, oh, that's crazy. There's no way they're going to set up a guillotine in every city of the U.S. because that's around how many cities there are, you know, just as a show of strength. Yeah, well, they said the same thing back in the 70s that legalizing, or in the 60s, that legalizing the killing of infants because a girl was afraid of getting stretch marks was completely crazy. There's no way they were ever going to do that. And then in the 50s, when some of the preachers were saying that, you know, this rock and roll is going to lead to people actually singing for Satan on stage to draw people into Satanism, they thought, well, that's crazy. That would never happen. Well, all of that happened. You know, as many are unaware, they have already passed laws making it legal to kill prisoners in jails using guillotines. As recent as the 1995-96 House of Representatives session, wherein Bill HB 1274 was passed, allowing for the death penalty to be carried out by guillotine in Georgia. See the link about these guillotines in the transcript of that law in box number 7 of the sermon notes. I literally had to transcript it and put it on the site because every time I want to go show it to somebody, the government keeps moving the location of that law or the bill. You can still find it on the government websites, but you got to surf. They keep moving it around. They keep archiving it. And there's a reason for that. They don't like being exposed. So now that it's on the books in one state, when they needed to go national, and they've got patience, look what they did in 1954 with the 501c3. It wasn't until 2006, or I'm sorry, 2000, yeah, it was 2006, March 7th, that they made it law that if you have a 501c3, not only is your church pastor become a government agent, but he has to report every donation you make to his church or ministry to the IRS so they can keep track of you. But that wasn't made law until 2006. Well, they had it back in 1954. It's just like with the Sunni laws that were passed in the 60s by John F. Kennedy. Well, the government still shuts down, well, supposedly shuts down on Sundays, and they forced all the car dealerships to do it because I used to sell cars. I know, we couldn't sell cars on Sunday. So when this goes national, and eventually will, because I remember I'm having all sorts of talking points, which I may get into a little bit later, on the news media in regards to using guillotines because of the botched executions using lethal injection. But it's going to spread across the nation from state to state. They only need to have it legalized by one governor, because governors can become presidents, by the way. All right, but they only have to do it in one state to get his friends in other states to go along with it. And if you don't believe me, what happened after one state agreed to go ahead with homosexual law? Or what happened when one state agreed to go ahead with abortion? Or what happened when one state went ahead and legalized marijuana? Or, killing your grandma with doctor-assisted suicide? So they've got it on the books right now. And the reasons they did it, well, maybe I'll get into it later. It's just, but the people fell for it. So, this next prophecy kind of touches on something we've talked about before too. But we do have new people here. If you've seen my video wherein I explain the reason for the rainbow in homosexual circles today, you know this prophecy is also fulfilled right before your eyes right now. But for the sake of those that are new to the church, I'm going to share this. And I'll go through it pretty quick. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 26 to 9, he says, "It as was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man." Now listen to what Jesus says here, and keep in mind, he don't mince his words. He doesn't have to. He doesn't beat around the bush, and he certainly doesn't gild the lily. He speaks knowing what he's saying and how it's going to be translated or understood. He says, they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Until the days that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It's no mistake that he's, mentioning Lot. What was it like in Noah's day, for example? Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the hearts of his thoughts, or the thoughts of his heart, was only evil continually." Well, look around. Everywhere we look, we see sin being embraced as the norm. And for those of us that have been walking with Jesus Christ for 5 minutes, can see this one. Even if you're a babe in Christ, you realize there are certain things that you just won't do that everybody around you seems, no big deal, everybody lies. Yeah, no big deal, everybody cheats on their taxes. Yeah, no big deal, everybody does this or does that or does whatever. And for you young people that are looking around wherein you have a hard time seeing what the older people are seeing, the only reason you may not see the sin we see is because this has been how society has been since you were born. Until you open a Bible and see what God says about such things as they were headed our way, you have no idea that the use of sex in selling candy bars to cars is sinful and never used to be the way as little as 50 years ago. I praise God for being alive at this time because I was born in the 50s. And so I was able to see society just go right off the edge of a cliff. I mean, it was pretty moral back when you were a kid where you called Dad sir. Well, we didn't do that, but, Ozzie Harriet did. And, Father Knows Best, they would call their dad sir. And you didn't yell back at Dad or Mom. Now kids are killing their parents. But without looking into the Bible, you will see no wrong in the homosexual sitcoms or satanic rock music, the extremely violent video games. And how much of a farce is that labeling on those games? No one under 17 can buy it or 18 can buy it. Graphic, depictions of death, or PG ratings on movies. They know the kids are going to go see the movies, and they know the kids are going to buy the videos because that's what they're marketing it for. I don't know a lot of adults that, like in their 50s or 60s, that, I can't wait to get the new version of this video game, whatever, That's something kids do. Or what about all the wars that are going on right now? I mean, the Pope's already starting to say it's World War III. When he says that, they're all going to go with it, and they're going to run with it, and they're going to say, okay, we're at World War III. So, and since they've been saying that for decades, somewhere, some way, someone's going to come up with a nuke. whether it's going to be an ICBM or someone with a dirty nuke, like a suitcase nuke, and just blast some city. Because they've always said, with World War III, will it be nuclear? You know? Well, we'll see. But who cares? The Lord's going to protect you no matter where you're at. So, with all this idiocy that's going on in the world right now for you young people, this is the norm. And so it's a little difficult for you to see what I see, because I was there before you were born, as are, like, many people here. So, but what Jesus says about marriage in Luke 17 is a clincher here. Jesus mentions Lot's day directly after mentioning that our day will be filled with the same evils of Noah's day like it is right now. That's just a no-brainer. It's just life. But he not only, and I'm not saying it's life that we should sin. No, it's life that we're surrounded. We're vexed daily. You know, especially if you live in a city. Well, I got to tell you, I feel for you. And I know you're trying to get out of there, and we're praying for you. But he doesn't mention just Lot's day, who we also know has to do with Sodom and Gomorrah and the homosexual abominations embraced in those cities. But notice what Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 27. He said they did eat, they drank, and yeah, there's details about that too, about the, you know, the overeating today, the overdrinking today, and whatnot. But the point I want to make is he says they married wives, and then he says they're given in marriage. Jesus actually repeats himself here on his comments about marriage. So what I mean here is, first he mentions the men of the day are marrying wives, and then he says the men of the day are given in marriage. So, as we know how he doesn't mince his words or gild a lily, that means they were marrying wives as man has always done, and then Jesus says they were given in marriage as well, which stipulates a different type of marriage. And he's connecting it with Noah's day, and he's connecting it with Lot's day. The men were actually marrying each other as well. To first mention the wife and the very next second in the same sentence say that they're given in marriage means it's not to wives they're going to be given in marriage to. Still, I knew some would balk at this, and so I looked a little deeper and found some ancient documents that do in fact agree with what Jesus says here in that 1,000 years before Jesus arrived as Messiah, we see in what's called the Babylonian Talmud of the Jews, which is a very hateful book towards Jesus Christ. Because there are some modern additions to the Talmud today, and it's not easy reading. I mean, they really lay into Jesus in a very vulgar, disgusting, putrid, hellish manner. But it is considered a reliable historic documentation. They stated that God sent the flood of Noah because the last straw was they legalized homosexual marriage. And this is why we see the homosexual community using the rainbow flag to this day. What's worse, the majority of them have no clue that why they're actually waving that flag, but the demons in or around them do. And what I mean by that is only Noah, his family, the God of heaven, the good angels, and then, of course, the fallen angels were alive at that time to witness firsthand why God created the rainbow. That rainbow flag being waved everywhere and Obama's decision to bathe the White House in that rainbow is an open mockery of the Lord, who stated in Genesis chapter 9, verses 13 to 15, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall not come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. Most alive today have no clue as to why that rainbow flag is such a prophetic statement, because the Lord God is not going to make it easy for the wicked to discover this until they repent and actually open a Bible. So this means the only ones alive today that know about the rainbow are the demons forcing their hosts to wave those flags as a show of strength against our God. And then, of course, us, the obedient students of prophecy, who understand the written word and its prophetic symbolism as per the promises in the Word of God that states we will understand. The truth is, some of us have even been preaching this for some time, but because our numbers are so small in comparison with the fallen churches, as was also prophesied, by the way, Not many agree with us because they prefer the gold, the glitter, and the political power of the government churches, and not the obedience, humbleness, and truth shared by the Bride of Christ. Still, the facts are clear. The rainbow was created after the flood. The flood came because of legalized homosexual marriage, which was the final straw in immoral collapse of man after generations of denying God as they did in Noah's day. He had patience. And he's got patience now, but now they've legalized it. The reality today is the homosexual community is not only the most sinful aspect of mankind, they also hate Christians with a passion. And the many laws being passed by politicians in that lifestyle confirm it. And then we have the rainbow being waved by the White House itself, the prophesied lamb-horned beast that embraces the man of sin as their God. So it's no mistake. It's happening now. And some people ask, well, look, he only destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, or he only destroyed San Francisco, or he only destroyed New Orleans during that flood there, or he only destroyed Pompeii. Yeah, it wasn't legalized homosexual marriage at that time. They were just going to town in those cities. So those cities were blasted. But when they made it globally legal, that was it. Final straw. That's where we're at now. All right, this next prophecy. As all students of prophecy know, and some new to the faith are starting to discover as we speak, the Pope's agenda regarding climate change was prophesied long ago. Some of us, even as children, decades ago, knew something very strange was going to occur with the weather right before the end. And I think this was revealed to some of us because the Lord was planning to use us later in life to relate such things unto every ear that can hear it. And as we all know, the climate is somewhat unstable, but not in the way the Pope claimed. First and foremost, it's not global warming at all. It's actually global cooling. There's over 36,000 scientists that have already proven him wrong, and just a handful agree with the Pope. But since they messed up in the 80s, when Pope John Paul II commanded Al Gore to help them push this agenda, Gore picked the wrong scenario. Now, I got a couple of videos in box number 7 to confirm all this. But the thing is, they can't change their agenda now from global warming to cooling because they to do so would admit that they messed up, so that would make their next step impossible. That being the case, their plans to try and quench the loud cry that moves millions out of the fallen churches and into the arms of Christ is still their main agenda. What I mean is, we know the Pope's prophesied mark is in fact the Sunday Sabbath. We have them admitting it in writing that Sunday is their mark of authority in religious things. We have them saying twice. They literally use the term mark when speaking of the Sunday Sabbath. It's on the Words of the Beast page. It's on the Mark of the Beast page, too. We also have literally thousands of on- and offline comments from the Vatican the last few decades that confirm the Popes of Rome are doing all they can to push Sunday laws, as well as an uplifting of the Roman Sabbath as if it was biblically declared valid by God, when in fact there's not a single Bible verse to back it up. I have around 1,000, or maybe more, because I haven't counted recently, but I have over 1,000 of these statements listed on my Sabbath Attack page, which is also linked out in box number 7. And for those of you listening on the radio or on the phone, if you want the links, the link to this, these study notes, just send me off an email and I'll send you the link. But the fact that they cannot find a single Bible verse to preach Sunday the Sabbath is truth, they need to find a way to make the loud cry message we have already started sharing seem invalid to the people in the world. And they've got a pretty good head start because most don't read Bibles. They only read and echo their pastors. They know they cannot refute the Bible we have. And so, as prophesied, they plan to use the global calamities regarding climate change as a catalyst towards getting everyone on earth to agree with Sunday laws, as a way to show God that we're all repenting of our sins, and so this should stop the unavoidable calamities. Of course, that's just a bold-faced lie. Because, number one, there is not a single Bible verse that says God changed the Sabbath to Sunday, but there are Bible verses before and after the cross of Christ that clearly state the seventh-day Sabbath is still a command of God since day one. There's even a statement by Jesus himself regarding how Christians will still be keeping the Sabbath, the seventh-day Sabbath, 40 years after he ascends into heaven, when everybody else in the Sunday-keeping churches say the Sabbath changed when he resurrected on what they call Easter, which is actually a pagan holiday of a Eöster, sun god. It's in Matthew chapter 24, verses 15 to 20, if you want to take a look at when Jesus talks about the abomination of desolation. But that's a whole other sermon, so I'm not going to go there. To summarize, what I'm getting at is when the loud cry that is happening right now gets much louder thanks to the outpouring of the latter rain, because the only reason the loud cry is out there now because we have the early rain on us, we're going forth. We're doing the third and fourth, well, all four angels' messages now. It's as our obedience is reflected on high, eventually we're going to be blessed with an abundance of the latter rain. And Satan knows this. He knows it's coming because prophecy states as such. He knows he cannot use the Vatican to declare the remnant people of God presently proclaiming the three angels' messages are evil because it would put us in the limelight as a people that the Vatican fears. They know most people don't trust the Vatican already, even though their life-filled media effort, you know, the efforts to see otherwise are so widespread. You remember what happened when Ratzinger came to New York? Remember all the close pictures they had of him? They zoomed in to make it look like there were crowds there, and there were no crowds. They couldn't zoom out and take a picture of him and show tens of thousands of people because nobody was there. That's why he had to resign, partially that the fact that he was also summoned to appear in court in regards to child molestation and murder. But he got out of that because, you know, these guys are the ones that make the laws, and so they can get out of anything. Well, so they think, until the one who actually wrote the law in stone returns. But to claim us evil, if the Vatican was to claim us evil, it would eventually cause some people to look into our message and find the truth. They ain't ready to do that. Therefore, they must make a reason to get all the world to agree with them that Sunday keeping, while at the same time, you know, is holy and it'll stop the calamities, at the same time, it'll make us look evil in a stealthy manner. They don't literally have to say we're evil. All they got to do is say, look, if you don't keep Sunday holy. And it's not just, see, this is the genius behind this demon called Beelzebub. You got to respect your enemy. I only respect him with his genius, and so I have to go ahead and rely on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to get me through this. And I'm not going to pretend that I can defeat Satan on my own, because you can't. Nobody can. But look at the way he does this, with this thing with the Sunday laws. He's not literally going out there and saying, everybody that keeps Sabbath is causing these calamities to get worse, because that's what's going to happen. When they pass that law, they've made the law of God void, and now it's ready for our God's hand to move, right? That's what the Bible says. And so when it goes off the chart and it gets even worse, they're going to say, well, it's because there's a bunch of holdouts. There's a bunch of people out there not keeping Sunday holy. And of course, the atheists are going to bow left and right. So yeah, sure, no problem. We've already opened up a Sunday-keeping church anyway just to mock you people. So yeah, we'll go to church on Sunday, no problem. The Muslims, yeah, no problem. The Jews, well, they've been doing it since last year, so there's no problem. So guess who's left? Us. And that was the main target all along. The present climate change agenda is not only what they came up with. It was prophesied it would happen this way. The reason they have to go this route is because instead of saying we must keep Sunday holy so as to shut up those that are using the Bibles to confirm the truth, they can more easily say to all the Sunday keepers that are already bowing to Rome's false Sabbath that they have to keep it holy so as to gain God, you know, get God's mercy and he'll stop the calamities. And they've already started saying it just to test the waters. For example, back in 2005 of February, which was about 2 months after what they call the Christmas tsunami, where 230,000 people died. Well, depending upon what you read, it's up to 300,000 in some areas. A Presbyterian minister said the following to all the listening world. He said, and I quote, and this linked out, and it's in the sermon notes and all that below. He said, the article said, a Christian minister claims the tsunami of Sunday, December 26, killing at least 160,000 people in that one small region, because they're not talking about the other area, was direct result of pleasure seekers breaking God's Sabbath. Some of the places most affected by the tsunami attracted pleasure seekers from all over the world. It has to be noted that the wave arrived on the Lord's Day. Well, it actually arrived on Sunday, not the Sabbath. But he is a pagan minister, but calls the Lord's Day Sunday. But it's actually the Sabbath. The Bible actually says, you know, my holy day, in Isaiah, when the Lord's speaking of his Sabbath. So anyway, he says, it has been noted that the wave arrived on the Lord's Day, the day God set apart to be observed by the world all over, as holy, resting upon from all employments and recreations that are lawful on other days. 5 years earlier, this is what they're not saying in the article, by the way. 5 years earlier, which was June 26, 2000. Not June 26, 2015, and not June 26, 1948. There's a reason they keep using the same dates. But anyway, June 26, 2000, this Presbyterian minister was already under the control of the Roman Pope, as that is the date his church, as well as all the other churches, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, joined with Rome under the newly formed and long prophesied United Religions Initiative. And I do have documentation that the SDA Church is a treasurer of the One World Church. They keep saying that we're lying. Now we've got documentation, and it's about to go on SDAapostasy.org. So anyway, our One World, this One World Church that they have created, is what most students of prophecy call it, is here. It's been here since 2000. The fact this minister doesn't mention how many that died that day were actually inside their churches on Sunday confirms Rome's lying hands behind this whole thing. When he made that statement 5 years after joining with Rome, one has to understand that it was proclaimed as a Vatican-approved statement so as to test the waters on Sunday laws. Because they got to. It's called demographic research. They've got to do this stuff. These guys, I mean, they've been doing this for eons. Rome's the home of politics. So as I stated earlier, on my Sabbath Attack page on the website, I have thousands of articles wherein Sunday laws are being promoted, and most recent being, of course, is an article which was posted in SeventhDayRemnantForum.org on October 23rd by one of the brothers here. It was an article the Salvation Army posted, who, by the way, has also been under Rome's thumb since June of 2000. Well, actually, earlier, because they more or less created it, but more so when the One World Church started. So, but to summarize, the article was pushing the Vatican's climate change with the title, "What Does the Lord Require of You?" The first paragraph of the article stated, "The call to climate justice is deeply rooted in biblically based Christian convictions. The scriptures provide a wealth of reasons why Christ's followers simply cannot ignore this crisis." But yet, you'll not see them share any of those verses, right? Because they're going to take them all out of context. And they know we're out there with the ability to put them back in context. So, it goes on. It says, "The following points are drawn from the Evangelical Climate Initiative." Gee, they got a whole new one now, right? "But the Climate Initiative, a group of senior evangelical leaders in the United States who are convinced it is time to seriously address the problem of global warming." Why? Because the Pope has been pushing it. That's why I made that climate change agenda will cause the mark to be enforced on the website, you know, a couple of years ago. If you scroll down on that link that's below, when you get to that page later, you will see many good ideas regarding helping the planet rebound from what they claim is global warming. You know, and I'm all for it. You know, I don't like, even when I was a kid and a teenager, I didn't like litter or litter bugs. I just, you know, says, come on. We're supposed to take care of the garden, right? Adam and Eve did it. But in the subheading that says what we, the church, can do, they state in item number 6 that keeping Sabbath, and of course is Sunday for them, is one way to help with climate change. Now, do you see why the Pope was elected the leader of the One World Church in 2000? And why they're now calling John Paul II Saint John Paul II? So that he can speak from heaven now, right? Because he wrote the Deus Domini that states that you should seek civil legislation to keep Sunday holy. Now they've got power. They can say it now. He's a saint. And look what he wrote back in 1998. But with the Pope being elected the leader of the One World Church, his loyal subjects can do as Herod of old did whenever he is called, you know, he was called by Caesar to make political statements that were too difficult for Caesar himself to make without committing political suicide. And this is why Presbyterian ministers are saying this, or Salvation Army saying this stuff. I mean, there's no doubt hundreds and hundreds of thousands of students of prophecy out there that believe the way we do, that are exposing the Pope's desire for Sunday laws right now. He knows having other people echo the Vatican's command for Sunday laws would easily pull the onus off the Pope and then appear as the norm across all of Christendom. This is why you never see the Popes going out there declaring that they got to legalize pedophilia. Now, they started with NAMBLA, and they started with a bunch of other areas around the world, so that once you get enough people echoing it, then all of a sudden you're going to see them say it's okay. And this is why the homosexual thing was echoed by every other church first, and then Francis comes and says, it's okay. Because that was their agenda to begin with. And they can't do it Just like Caesar couldn't say certain things, he had to get Herod to say it. So that when enough people are saying it, then Caesar can chime and say, yeah, okay, I agree. That's why Obama waited till as long as he did. But that can only happen when the majority that call themselves Christians stop reading their Bibles or even refuse to research current events as they pertain to Bible prophecy. I mean, thanks to Satan's distraction campaign that deals with everything from sports to Hollywood, that day has come. And then just 6 years after forming the One World Church, the Vatican-controlled Congress passed the 501c3 law so as to make sure every preacher, every pastor, every minister under the contract would toe the line for Mother Rome or be destroyed financially if they refuse to do so. And by the way, the link to that article from the Salvation Army is linked out in box number 7 as well, and it just goes right to the forum, Seventh-day Remnant Church Forum. And by the way, and maybe I'll just close with this because I'm trying to watch the time here, and so this is definitely going to be three parts. But by the way, the shootings in Paris are no mistake either. First and foremost, these so-called shootings are nothing more than government-controlled events for the most part that are designed to make religious extremists look bad. So many people think Islam is all about religion. No, it's about politics. But they say it's religion, so they can come up to you and say, oh, you want a new ID card? You got to give us your denomination. You want to learn? You want to vote? What's your denomination? That way they can kind of like find us, so they think. See, that's why we meet all over the world, two or three families at a time, all over the world. The church started in the homes. It's going to end in the homes. We're so widely scattered now that they can't even infiltrate us. And so, yeah, they're going to go out there to try to make religious extremists look bad. And yes, they are bad, of course, because the first and only definition of a religious extremist is someone that uses violence to spread their message, like the popes of Rome have done since day one. They not only keep all this in the limelight so as to keep the people in fear and hate anybody that has anything to do with religion, that's why atheists are growing in number, it also allows them to generate hatred of anyone that they deem to be religious. You don't even have to be extremist, just be religious. And yes, this is all geared towards making the Christians, the real ones, that obey God's law appear as extremists, even though we never use violence at all. I mean, religion itself has become the target so that the extremist or not, unless religion is controlled by the government, they will declare we cannot have peace on earth. That's what it's going to end up doing. Unless the government can come up with a one world, well, they've already done the one world church, but now they got to, like with the 501c3, they've already got church and state together as one. A lot of people don't realize that the ball has been dropped by the pastors. They have literally given life onto the image of the beast on March 7th, 2006. But they haven't flexed that life yet. You watch. They're going to agree with the Pope, of course. That's what the prophecy says, with the Sunday laws. So as expected, we will see a government church form, and all that stand outside of it will be tagged extremist, no matter how gentle you are. Doesn't matter. I've posted at least a dozen, I'd say half a dozen reports over the years wherein they literally have called Christians that obey God to be extremists. They pepper the media with these statements at key intervals so as to continue the hate fest against Christians and to keep it well filled. That's why I got a page on the website about hating the Christian. I put that up 15 years ago. I think that was one of the first pages. I mean, it had to do with something, the way they changed the numbers on racism as opposed to messing with somebody's religiosity. Since the numbers on people getting attacked for their faith was so minuscule and so low, they had to merge it with something that was huge, like racism. Now, they have a political foundation whereas to declare, look, religion's a problem now. No, it's never been a problem. You guys made it that way so that you can have this. And it's been prophesied. Don't let any of this upset you. This means we really are in the last days, and they are really going to target us soon. That's fine. Hey, this is what we've been praying, and this is why we're striving out of that perfection. This is why we read our Bibles daily. So even though true biblical Christianity is by far the most peaceful people known to man, they're still going to target us. I mean, so peaceful, in fact, that Rome had a heyday killing them during the Inquisition, but that's not what they will harp on, of course, when it comes to trying to make us look bad. They will declare us extremists and then quote from our very own Bibles, using Old Testament ordinances, of course, that were abolished at the cross, to declare we are just as bloodthirsty as the Muslim. The media has now that much control over the people because they refuse to read their Bibles. But no one seems to notice how easy it is to expose them. For example, have you ever noticed how American politicians are able to visit war-torn regions of the world wherein terrorists are supposedly going berserk and killing everybody they can get their hands on, as per government-controlled media reports are saying? Have you ever noticed how none of these visiting dignitaries or these high-ranking officials or even Hollywood stars, for that matter, ever seem to get a hangnail? Or let alone a bullet wound while they're out there supposedly on the front lines? Ever notice that? I mean, yeah, one very powerful politician by the name of Hillary Clinton did in fact get caught lying about how she had to dodge bullets when stepping off a plane in Bosnia back in 96. But for the most part, they don't even bother trying to lie and echo fiction like Hillary did, because it's really nowhere near as bad as they're saying it is. It's all propaganda. And if and when it does get bad in some areas, as is obvious thanks to some reliable news sources, it has to, because they have to get their agenda pushed forward, and sometimes they do have to kill. The one planning to visit that area just makes a couple of phone calls, tells them they're headed there, somebody flicks a switch, and the terror is just magically suspended until their visit is over. So, when the officials in Paris state, and don't get me wrong, I do believe those people died, I do believe it's a false flag attack, though, because they have to get the people crying out for government protection so that they can have their new world order. You know, what I mean by that is, if they remove the sovereignty of all the nations, and I get into this later on in one of the prophetic events that are happening, so I'm not going to go into too much detail now, but for... In other words, it has to be a one-world government. It's already on paper, by the way. The Club of Rome has been there since the 1967, I think it was, or 63. But they got to get the people in line. And just like they did at September 11th, before September 11th, they were looking at trying to get us to, in America anyway, to put armed guards on airplanes and beef up the security in the airports. American people said, no way. Especially when they started talking about this in Congress. They said, no way. And then, bam, September 11th hits. September 12th, what happens? The American people supposedly start begging for armed guards on airplanes and begging for, what we now call TSA. So, that's why Paris went down the way it did. The people are right now. As a matter of fact, I do have the article. A brother or sister in the faith sent me an article in regards to the people in Paris are now crying out for the government to protect them, and even if it means taking away some of their freedoms. Just echoing what happened back in 2001 here. So, again, and I'll close with this. When the officials in Paris state they have every intention of going ahead with COP21 meetings on climate change at the end of this month, and it's going to go, of course, spill over into December, it's all an act to make them appear as if they are doing all they can and for the best of us, where even in the face of danger, because it's Paris, France, that's where all these killings, right? So we're going to go there, we're going to stand up there with her, and we're going to show that we're fearless, and we're going to be out there in the face of danger, and we're going to do what we can to try to protect you poor, unfortunate people all over the planet who are suffering in the so-called climate change. It's all an act. It's all a game. It's all propaganda. And they're going to do it, because prophecy says they're going to do it. And I hope and pray that you're blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Sanctify ye fast, consolum, assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants into the house of the Lord your God, and cry. destruction from the Almighty it shall come. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Blow ye the trumpet, is thy horn. Sound an alarm in thy holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. Turn ye then to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garment, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and let the bridegroom
Amen and amen. Before we pray, first of all, thank you everybody for reminding me. I'm still getting PMs to share Novi's testimony as to regards to what happened with this Facebook thing. I'm going to do that now, and then we're going to pray after this. I'm going to read this email that Sister Novi sent me. And actually, she sent it to Fran and myself. And then listen to what she says here. It'll literally shock your socks off, especially if you have Facebook. All right. Dear Brother Nick and Sister Fran, Sabbath blessings to both of you. First, the newsletter is ready, and by the way, I got to get you that the newsletter list. So, all right. But she says, first, the newsletter is ready, and we will just wait for the address list. Okay. Second, I am really ashamed of myself for making a great mistake. Something happened this week that changed my life. I have a Facebook account. Although I am aware of its danger, I read your article about it, and I got over, I don't know, over 250 articles about the dangers of Facebook and how the government's really running it. And she says, and I joined the group against vaccines on Facebook. In that group, I got the chance to talk to parents with vaccine-injured babies, and majority of them are following natural remedies when their kids get sick. So it's normal to see posts of babies with skin problems, etc. And by the way, there's a doctor out there, and I have it on the health page, that if you've been vaccinated and didn't realize it, there are natural methods that will literally leach that vaccine out of you. So don't worry about it. And anyway, Sister Novi goes on to say, she goes, so when Jade's rashes on her belly showed up, I also noticed okay, the grammar's messed up a little bit here. She goes, post it to get idea. Oh, yeah, I also posted it. Okay, she didn't mess up her grammar. I also posted the picture, I guess, of the baby to get an idea on how to get rid of him, but did not put Jade's face because Sister Novi knows about facial recognition technology, that it's all over Facebook and all your cell phones. You can turn it off, too, by the way, on your cell phone, so just so you know. And then she goes on to say, she goes, some parents shared their natural remedies while others said, I have to go to the doctor because it looked like her umbilical cord is infected and her belly is distended. I kind of thought that at first, too, but I thought, and then Fran told me, no, that's a little fat little tummy of a baby like normal. And I remember, oh, yeah, that's right. We had eight kids. So But, she goes on, but I told him that's not true because I know for a fact it's just a rash. I think, sister, you should have said that, and I'm a nurse. You should have said that, but maybe that would have prevented the hassle, but that's, the Lord allowed it so that we could share this. So, she says, I deleted my post. Now, are you sitting down? Now, Sister Nova, you didn't put your name up there, right? You didn't put your address on Facebook either, did you? You didn't put your phone number on there? You certainly didn't even put the city you live in on there, right? From my understanding, she didn't. Yeah, none of it. Right, no, she says no here. Check this out. The next day, I got DHS knocking on my door. Well, up here they call it DCFS, Department of Children and Family Services. But down there, I guess they call it DHS, knocking on my door. She told me that someone from Facebook reported that I didn't want to bring her to the hospital and that she got distended belly and an infected cord. I felt the world just fall on me. Yeah, that would make anybody's blood leave their head immediately. Like, that's scary. She also asked a lot of personal questions, including Jade's vaccination records, I guess, and what is my religion? What are they asking about the religion? There's a reason for that. She also did a tour around our house. I should have listened to you and to my husband that Facebook is a government agency. How did they know my address? That's not shown in my account, and I believe that the government has trolls that monitor groups like that because we are against the government agenda about vaccines. So the DHS told me to go see a doctor to clear the allegation, and so I went to her pedia, or, you know, the doctor, and he said there is no sign of distension of the belly, and her belly button is not infected. The rashes on her belly were already all gone. So praise the Lord. I wanted to share this because I don't want other brethren to make the same mistake that I made. Please, please keep it in prayer and that they will close the investigation soon and won't harass me anymore. Thank you. The Lord's been glorified. The truth is out there. And if it's okay with you, Sister Novi, I'm going to put this email on my Facebook page. If that's, well, I don't have a, take that back, everybody. I don't have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page on my website that exposes Facebook. That's what I mean, all right? So there's a page on my website called The Dangers of Facebook. And so, but this email will be on there. Well, I'm not going to give your email address or something like that. I'm just going to put it up there, just like that. Right? Yeah, is it Facebook or Facebook? So anyway, this is literal confirmation of what I've been saying for years since Facebook came, as well as some of the, you know, people in our church family have been saying for years about Facebook. It is a government agency. I mean, come on. Why would, and I wish I could find this quote, but first, why would there be an internet company that's offering you everything for free as long as you give them all your private information? Which means your brothers and sisters' pictures and your spouses and your kids and everybody that you know in life and give. Why? Well, it makes it a lot easier for them to go door to door than going door to door, like in the old days, like what they used to call gumshoe or softshoe or gumshoe or flatfoot. In other words, you got to go, the cops or the detectives had to go knocking door to door to try to figure out where you're at. Now they can sit down and go on Facebook. And I'll close with this. I saw a video a year or two ago. I put it on the website twice already. And if I can find it, I'm going to put it on the website again. I think it's on the Facebook page, too. That's on my site. I don't have Facebook. Of these guys that were acting like they were psychics. It was like a prank. But it was a well-organized prank. And they had this big booth set up in New York City, I think it was. And you would come in, and the psychic would only ask you what your name is. That was it. And then he would be able to tell you who you're dating, the name of the person you're dating or married to, what your kids' names are, what their birth dates are, where you live, what school you went to as a child, what school you're going to now in college, what your job, your place of business is, where you even go to have your morning, wherever you get your gas or you get, like if some people still drink coffee, you know, they go to get their coffee, whatever. And these people are going, wow, these are the most powerful psychics ever. And then all of a sudden the guy hits a switch and the screen behind him drops. And all it is 10 guys or maybe 5 guys on computers using Facebook, Twitter, and all the other internet social media accounts to tell the so-called psychic with an earpiece everything that he needs to know about you. Now, some guy that's a Joe Schmo on the side of the road pulling a prank like this can get all that private information. Think about Uncle Sam. If you can kneel, please do so. We'll end with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us on this Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread. And thank you for prophecy, because it lets us know what time it is and how to get ready for you and your son's return. And we can join you with the Holy Spirit as one for all eternity. Please bless everyone here in attendance, everyone that's on the radio, everyone that's on the phone. Thank you so much for blessing us the way you do on a regular basis and keep us on that path. And thank you for the hedge of angels that you have around us. Yeah, because I know, you know, there's people listening that are listening for all the wrong reasons. Kind of like Doeg did when David was talking to the priest, and he went and reported back to Saul, and that priest and everybody, all the other priests died. So we know they're out there, Father. And so, Father, thank you for the hedge of angels that you have about us, so that we can continue the work and be blessed in doing it. And again, we offer this prayer unto you. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, and Commander in this holy war, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, and the one quote that I was talking about that I hope and pray that I can find, this was from the 1920s. I wasn't alive back then, but I like going into stuff like that when I was a teenager anyway, researching stuff. And I remember reading in a library, because my mom, I'm waiting on her, because I used to take her to the library because she didn't drive. And I found this one quote. I don't know if it was from Eisenhower or Roosevelt or one of their buddies. But they said, if there was a way that we can get the American people to offer us their private information in regard to who their friends are and all this other stuff, we would have absolute control over this nation. That is Facebook. Because when I first saw Facebook the first time, I thought, where is that quote? Because that's the first thing that came to my mind, was that quote I saw on a microfilm or something like that in the Oaklawn Public Library. So, hope and pray you're blessed.